Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/discordia19. Over 100,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. audibletrial.com/discordia19. Good evening and welcome to the Discordia 19 podcast. This is a Stephen King podcast. My name is Joe.
And my name is Mondo.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Stephen King and the world of Stephen King, books, movies, whatever. We do this every few weeks. And there's a bunch of news. And you can read all of these stories and download this podcast at discordia19.com. So let's get started. There were a couple of deaths this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ray Bradbury died. That's the sad one for me.
Yeah, me too. Ray Bradbury is he's legendary.
He is. Yeah. Some great books. Stephen King said on StephenKing.com that Ray Bradbury wrote 3 great novels and 300 great stories. One of the latter was called The Sound of Thunder. The sound I hear today is the thunder of a giant's footsteps fading away. But the novels and stories remain in all their resonance and strange beauty.
That's a nice thing to say.
It is. It is. King's a good dude.
His stuff was strange, Bradbury.
Yeah. Yeah, no denying that. I think my favorite is Fahrenheit 451.
So, mine too.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. The other death we had this week was, maybe it was this past couple of weeks, Richard Dawson, host of The Family Feud.
Survey says...
The reason why I mention him is because he played Damon Killian, the evil mastermind host of the reality game in the Running Man movie.
Right.
A movie starred Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura. So two future U.S. governors in that movie.
Yes.
Jesse Ventura was just a kind of a cameo, small role, but Arnold was the lead. They should remake that one. They remake everything nowadays.
I would love for them to remake that one because that is like out of, you know, I would even say that that's like one of my favorite stories, period. I was going to say it's one of my favorite Bachman stories, but I just love that. That was like, that was some awesome Stephen King science fiction right there.
It was great. And the movie was a bit different than the story, but still, it was still, both were enjoyable. I love the story though.
Yeah, the story was, because the movie, it all took place in, like, this big arena.
Right.
It was like a game show, like, it was like a one-night thing. The movie was like, it took place over the course of, I mean, the book took place over the course of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically had the whole world to run in.
That's right, and the whole world was, there was incentive for anyone to turn him in, because they would get paid for revealing him for any reason or any situation.
And he had to send in videotapes, like, every day.
Right, to prove that he was still alive and stuff.
Right, and to give them some entertainment. And that's, like, that's such a more interesting story than, like, you know, than what they did.
Yeah, it was basically an episode of American Gladiators.
Yeah, it was. That did come out around the time that was popular.
It did.
Yeah.
The last bit of sad news we have this week is that the Rock Bottom Remainders are breaking up. They're going to play their final gig. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, the Rock Bottom Remainders is a rock and roll band that is made up of all authors. Currently, the band members are Stephen King, Amy Tan, Dave Barry, Scott Turow, Mitch Albom, Matt Groening, James McBride, Roy Blount Jr., Ridley Pearson, Greg Isles, and Sam Barry. So these are all moderately famous authors. And they just play music. You know, they're a decently good rock band. King played rhythm guitar. And they're not going to play anymore. They're doing their last live gigs. King says, "I'm looking forward to reuniting with my bandmates. We're older, but not dead. Some of us can remember all of the words. All of us can remember some of the words. But none of us can remember all of the music. That's why they call it rock and roll.
There you go.
So they're playing the last gig in L.A., so that's out of our reach. They're playing at the El Rey Theater. And tickets are on sale now. They're $40 a piece. You can get them if you go to rockbottomremainders.com. There's a link there. You can also buy from that same website where you buy the tickets. You can buy a signed lithograph of their illustration, the one that's on the website, signed by all of the authors for $150. Or you can buy for $300, you can buy a set of books, one book from each author also signed by that author.
That's a pretty good deal right there.
I was tempted to, I bought the lithograph, but I was tempted to buy the books too. But then I was like, you know, I don't know most of these authors, and you know, the King book will probably be 11/22/63, which is fine, but I already have an autographed copy of it. So I'm hesitating to spend another $300 now that I spent the $150 on the lithograph.
Right.
The lithograph's pretty unique and awesome. You know, the books are, you know, the books are okay. And I don't mind collecting books from other authors other than Stephen King. Like, I have a whole bunch of Christopher Moore signed books. I have Neil Gaiman signed books. I have, you know, signed books from other related authors that I'm interested in. But most of these names I don't even really know. Matt Groening would be a cool autograph to have. I don't know what he'd sign. He'd sign a Simpsons book?
Probably. Or a Life in Hell book.
Yeah, maybe. He plays cowbell. Is it really count as being awesome in the band? If you just play cowbell.
More cowbell.
Anyway, so that's kind of sad, but cool. If you're over in the West Coast, you should go to that gig. Tickets are currently still on sale.
You know, I was saying this before before we started today, is I feel that it's kind of sad, actually, that they don't just keep going. I mean, not necessarily with the same people. Sure, like, these guys are getting older, they might want to retire, but I think they should cycle them out. Get Chris Moore in there. Get, like, you know.
Yeah, drop in some new talent.
Right. Make it an everlasting thing.
Yeah, that'd be nice, actually, but I guess not. I mean, and all the proceeds for anything they do all goes to charity.
Right.
So over the last 20 years, they've raised more than $2 million for literacy causes, is what it says here. So it was for a good cause. They really should pass it. Like, Joe Hill should take Steve King's, take the rhythm guitar from Steve.
Sure.
Right? I follow Joe Hill on Twitter. He's pretty prolific on there.
He is. It makes you wonder, like, when he's got time to write.
Yeah, and he's chatting with Neil Gaiman, and I'm like, I'm watching these two literary giants. All right, Joe Hill's not a literary giant, but Neil Gaiman is. I'm watching him just chat with Joe Hill over Twitter, and we're all privy to this conversation. And Twitter's a little bit bizarre sometimes.
It is. You got to follow some more people, though. Like, do you follow Warren Ellis, like comic writer and author of Warren Ellis?
No.
The three of them will get into it.
Really?
Yeah. So you're missing part of the conversation sometimes. And we might even be missing. We both might be missing more of the conversation with someone else that, you know, we don't follow.
Oh, yeah.
That's the number one reason I check my Twitter feed at this point, is to see what they're up to.
Yeah, that's great. The only other news we have about books, that wasn't all about books, but the rest, we have a bunch of stuff about movies and TV, but let's stick to books and other stuff first. Stephen King announced Joyland, right, which is going to be a novel about a haunted amusement park. The novel, set in a small town in North Carolina, 1973, tells the story of the summer in which college student Devlin Jones comes to work as a carny and confronts the legacy of a vicious murder, the fate of a dying Chills, and the way both will change his life forever. Child. Fate of a dying child. I can't even read my own typing. So, we knew that stuff already. The date of publication has been announced. It'll come out in June 2013. And Hard Case Crime will publish it. Now, they've done other King work before. They did The Colorado Kid. Right. So that means this will only be released in paperback. It will not be a hardback version. And for now, King says there will not be an electronic version.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a little, I don't know. I'm an ebook kind of person.
I know. Are you going to have to, like, get, like, another copy of this?
I don't know.
Like a reading copy?
I would always have bought a real copy anyway. I have everything, you know, in every version you can get it.
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, usually your versions, you get, like, you know, you get a lot of special editions. I mean, are you going to get this just something you can, like, chuck in your back pocket?
Yeah, I'll have to buy one to not read and one to read. Right. There won't be a special edition, I don't think. So I'll have to have one that I can mess up and one that I don't mess up.
Right.
King said he loves crime, he loves mysteries, and he loves ghosts. That combo made Hardcase Crime the perfect venue for this book, which is one of his favorites. He says he also loved paperbacks he grew up with as a kid, and for that reason, they're going to hold off on e-publishing this one for the time being. Joyland will be coming out in paperback, and folks who want to read it will have to buy the actual book. So that's interesting. It annoys me a little. They'll be bootlegs of it, and that's the worst part, right? Because now, if I find it, you know, for Kindle and bootleg somewhere, then what? I mean, I'm still going to buy it, but that's just me. There are other people who wouldn't because they found it, you know, someplace illegal. There'll be cover up by Robert McGinnis, who also did the cover of The Colorado Kid.
I love the cover of Colorado Kid.
Yeah, it's very kind of pulpy.
Yeah, I like that pulp art thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might be able to tell.
Yeah.
By some of my other stuff.
So it's interesting, and you know, I'm excited for a new book. I'm always excited for a new book, even if it's going to be small and in paperback. The editor of Hardcase Crime said that it's a whodunit, it's a carny novel, it's a story of growing up and growing old, and about those who don't get to do either because death comes for them before their time. Even the most hard-boiled readers will find themselves moved. When I finished it, I sent a note to saying, "God damn it, Steve, you made me cry."
Oh, Stephen King made him cry.
Yes, he did. So that's interesting stuff. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about movies and TV.
Okay.
So for you, the listeners of Discordia 19 podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. audibletrial.com/Discordia19 is where you go to subscribe. So you'll get yourself a free book that you get to keep forever and with a 30-day trial of audible.com. And they have every book that Stephen King ever wrote. They'll have the future books, too. I don't know. It didn't say anything about e-books in this new hard case crime novel. But I'd guess it eventually would be there on audiobook. The Stand is one of their newer ones. Completely unabridged. It's about 50 hours long or something.
Wow.
Yeah, so head over there and read some books. Do you still call it reading? How do you feel about that? I've heard this debate before. If you listen to a book, do you say, "I just read that book"?
No, you know what? I don't. I believe I say I listened to the audiobook. I think I use more words than probably is necessary.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate because, you know, you're absorbing the book same as if you read the book. So I can't argue that it's not reading, but I also say, like you do, I say I listen to the audiobook.
Yeah, like if someone says, "Well, have you read that?" I'll be like, "Well, you know, I listen to the audiobook."
See, that's the argument. People are like, "You don't have to say that. You read it. You still know the story. You've still read it from the beginning to end. It was just read to you."
That's a slippery slope for me. I feel like I haven't read the thing until I've read it. I mean, I'm one of those people. I mean, my mother, you know, she's really into the audiobook. She doesn't need a physical, you know, copy of a book. But, I mean, I typically listen mostly to books that I've already read.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, there are books that I haven't read that I've listened to the audiobook. And I will occasionally say, after I've listened to it, I'm like, "That is awesome. I have to get that book." But that's me. I'm a weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah, you're allowed to. You're allowed to be a weirdo.
Thank you.
So get your free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/discordia19. Again, that's audibletrial.com/discordia19 for your free audiobook. And we thank Audible for their support of Discordia 19. So a couple interesting things in the news. First, Carrie. They're about to start shooting. If you can believe it, all this talk of the new Carrie reboot. They're shooting next week.
Wow.
I think it's going to be out. I think it's coming out like early next year.
Yeah, they can pump that one out pretty quick. There's not going to be a lot of post-production.
No, I guess not.
But, or is there?
It's coming out March 15th next year is when the release date. So Chloe Moretz was grabbed by some reporter somewhere, and she said that she watched the original movie, but she's not watching it in preparation for the new version, because they're doing something totally different, and she's trying to bring her own take into it. It really sounds like a 15-year-old actress, doesn't she?
She does.
It's very different. Kimberly Pierce really put her hand into it, and it's like this dark black swan version. You're going to be psychologically manipulated.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So there's some new cast information, too. We already knew that Julianne Moore signed on to be Margaret White, and Alex Russell signed on to be Billy Nolan. He's kind of a not well-known. Judy Greer from the Descendants movie. She was also in The Village. She is coming on. And Megan Hilty from Smash is going to be in it. And Ivana Baquero from Pan's Labyrinth. Those are all some new casting announcements, which I guess will stop coming now that they're shooting next week.
Right. I would like to see Travolta in a cameo.
I don't know.
Just because... It'd be funny.
Like a janitor. Like a school janitor.
That would be awesome. That's all he needs to be. You kids look out now, all right?
I saw some pictures of him recently. Maybe it was even on, like, TMZ on Channel 5. And he really... I don't know what he looks like. He really looks strange these days. I gotta find a picture. I gotta find a picture to show you. He really looked really odd. And he keeps getting raped by masseuses.
Yeah, I know, that's crazy.
Or is it the other way around? I don't remember.
It's a little bit of both, I think. I don't know. But, you know, a cameo with him. I think there should be two scenes. I think one, you see him in the hallway, and he says that, like, you know, look out, you kids, or something like that. But then after the pig's blood, like, you know, before all hell breaks loose, he should just look at him and be like, now I'm going to have to clean that up, and then, you know, and then all hell breaks loose.
That's pretty cool. In more movie news, it is going to be adapted into two films. So Warner Brothers is adapting a new version, a reboot of It. It's going to be directed by Cary Fukunaga. He adapted Jane Eyre last year. He's co-writing the script with Chase Palmer, who previously adapted Dune for Paramount.
Dune.
Produced by Roy Lee, Dai Lin, David Katzenberg. I don't know what to make of this. I guess some of that movie, some of the original It I liked. I didn't have tons of problems with the original miniseries. The kids were definitely better than the adults.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought
the exception of John Ritter, maybe.
And Tim Curry, who was through the whole film, right?
Right.
They should use Tim Curry again for Pennywise.
Damn straight.
He was really good at Pennywise. But yeah, and I mean Stuttering Bill I thought was completely wrong.
And that was that kid from the Waltons.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I thought he was cast completely miscast in that one. But,
oh, Harry Anderson?
Yeah, I mean, some of the adults were okay. Harry Anderson was okay for Eddie Katzenberg. You know, he had that kind of... He's a comedian. He had that kind of silly... So, I mean, you know, maybe I have less problems with it than I thought. You're reminding me of all the good things.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know... I mean, it was good.
It was okay, yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know that it needs to be. I mean, what sort of two films are we doing here now? Is this like a... I mean, the fact that they're planning it being two films, I mean, are we going to have to wait like a year? Or is this going to be more along the lines of like what they did with... what Tarantino did with Kill Bill, which was he shot a really long movie and said, nobody's going to sit for 4 hours... and split it up. So are they just doing this preemptively, or are they just doing this because, you know...
Because it's such a long book? I don't know. The you know, it's Warner Brothers, so I'm assuming that means it's not TV. It's not going to be a miniseries.
Right.
They said two films, and the director is kind of famous, so... I don't know. Maybe it's going to be split over a year apart. What would they do? The kid's story and then the adult story, and you know, the things that tie between them mixed in? I don't know.
I mean, I think they should, if they're going to split it up, I mean, I don't think they should make people wait too long. I think it should be out, like, you know, again, back to the Kill Bill. I think the first Kill Bill Volume 1, I think, was out in, like, fall.
Mm-hmm.
And Kill Bill Volume 2 came out that following February. So it was only, you know, it was a space of a few months.
Yeah.
I think that if they're gonna do it like that, I think they should do it like that.
I think they better. I think that the problem with Stephen King movies in general is they're prone to be terrible. And not only are they prone to be terrible, they're prone to make no money, even when they're not terrible. That, like, you know, half the time, they're flops, right?
Right, like The Mangler.
Exactly. I mean, so you're taking a big chance, even if they're going to film it back-to-back, they're taking a big chance that the first half makes, you know, John Carter kind of money. And then what? What do you do with the set? You don't release the second half, or you do release the second half?
You're going to have to. You're, like, committed.
That's right. So it's a little complicated, and I'm not sure what I'm not sure.
Yeah, it seems that, like, you know, and anything, like, core Stephen King stuff, yeah, the adaptations typically will suck. You know, the exception is, like, The Shining. I think that might be the only exception. Like, everything else that hasn't sucked has not been something that people typically think of as a Stephen King story.
Yeah.
And you usually shock people who, like, don't know.
That's,
like,
right.
Now that they push the name more. But Stand By Me?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't read Stephen King, you had no idea it was a Stephen King movie.
That's right. Shawshank as well.
Shawshank, yep.
Which is 19 years ago, by the way.
Wow. It's crazy. Green Mile. Green Mile is fantastic. A lot of people did not know that that was Stephen King.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, there's some of the older stuff did well and was good, too. But it's less so in the newer stuff. You know, like The Shining, Carrie, you know, Christine, Salem's Lot. All those movies did fine when they came out, right?
Right. Well, Salem's Lot was a TV.
That was TV, the original Salem's Lot?
Yeah, yeah, with Starsky or Hutch. I don't remember which one.
Hmm. So I guess we'll see. I don't know. You know. It's like remake every movie ever made. You know, and the Shining, too, of course. We've already talked about that. Them remaking The Shining, too.
Right.
Here's one that's not a remake. Tom Holland, who directed The Langoliers and Thinner, is going to be adapting The 10 O'Clock People from Nightmares and Dreamscapes.
I love that story.
Me too. It's one of my favorite, especially from that book. I think it's my favorite in that book. It's one of my favorites in general. It's about a guy who cuts down on his smoking to a point where something chemically changes in his brain. He's able to see these hidden monsters that living among us, kind of like in They Live.
Right. Oh, you said the glasses, right. It's his nicotine consumption.
Right. It was a certain level. The 10 O'Clock People is a reference to all the people outside of office buildings at 10 o'clock that are all stopped for their first cigarette of the day, you know, after being at work for, you know, an hour and a half. And, you know, and the amount of smoking you can do when you're in that situation, when you have to be in an office all day, puts them all in this situation where they're somehow able to see. And he finds other people and, you know, they plot and good story. It'd probably make a good movie, actually. Because, you know,
yeah,
it's like remaking They Live, except, you know, without Roddy Piper.
Without that, like, 10-minute chicken fight.
That's right. So that's interesting. That's coming in 2013 also. And
that's one of his cigarette. He's written a bunch of cigarette-related stories.
Yeah, there was an audiobook package that I bought once that were all cigarette-related stories.
Yeah, you got that for me as well.
Yeah.
Blood and Smoke.
Blood and Smoke, right. And so they had three stories in it, and they were all had to do with smoking. 10 O'Clock People was not in that batch.
No.
That was the one with the guy in the being tortured,
mm-hmm.
and the guy in the restaurant that loses his freaking mind.
I love that one.
Yeah,
too.
Me too. And the third one was I don't remember now. Oh well.
That's like that's what gets Stephen King going is not having any cigarettes, and he writes some really great stuff about people who like are trying to quit smoking and have fucked up shit happen to them.
King read all three of those by himself, but 1408 was the third one.
Yep,
that was the one that he quit smoking and he kept a cigarette behind his ear to remind him not to smoke. And in the end, his cigarette lighter is what saved him.
Yep, that was not a bad film adaptation.
I liked that one too, and it made nothing. It did terribly in the theaters, and I think it got bad reviews.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say I loved it, but I really liked it.
I like John Cusack too. He's good.
Yeah, John Cusack's awesome.
I mean, it was different than the book. Again, you know, when they change things too much, I still can like it. I'm not one of those people that can't like it if they change it too much. Right. But that was quite a bit different than the story too, in some ways.
Well, with a lot of the short stories, I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's a novella, the short stories, it's like usually you're going to have a really short movie unless you start changing stuff up.
Yeah, you have to expand on it a bit.
Right. Like The Mangler.
Yeah.
Like, I think The Mangler, like, no, seriously, though. I think The Mangler is like one of his shorter short stories. I think the thing's like, I'm making this up, but I might even be right. I think the thing's like 5 pages.
Could be.
It's a short one.
Yeah, I'll do remember. I think that's all we have this week. That was a good amount of news.
That was a good amount of news. I think people should go, though. I don't know where you got your flowchart, but that Stephen King Universe flowchart on Discordia 19?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I found it, and I emailed the author to make sure it was okay to republish it, because it's not one of those things that will generate traffic to her site, right? Because you read it on my site, and then you don't have to go there. So right. I did email her and ask her permission. Her name is, or his name, I think it's maybe, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl. Anyway, the name is Jillian James. Jillian's probably a girl. And the company is called the Tessie Design Company, which is, they're her own company, I think. And she made this, they do nothing but make flowcharts, that company. And she made this Stephen King Universe flowchart that you should go to Discordia 19 and check it out. It's on the second page. You can do a search, and there's a search box for flowchart, and it'll show up. Very cool. There's stuff missing from it, and there's no Dark Tower stuff. But still, it's still pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. After I posted that, a million other King sites posted it. Not because they necessarily saw it on my site. It did show up in Google. It came in my Google News. There's Stephen King stuff going on, emails I get.
Right.
So, all of us King bloggers get those, I'm sure, get those same Google alerts. And since I emailed her, she's gotten, I can't tell how many people have hit her site, but I know she has 200 comments on her post of that flowchart itself. And 200 comments means that a lot of people went there and look at it.
Right.
So I hope she got good traffic from it, from all of us posting about it. Lilja put it up on his, too, and Lilja's the biggest of the King sites, so. Yeah, he generates tons of traffic. That friggin' guy from Europe. That Swedish bastard. I think he's Swedish.
Damn Swedes.
He's been doing this for 10 years, so he deserves his traffic.
Absolutely.
He actually has got to hang out with King and stuff like that. He's that prolific in the King blog world, where he gets invited to stuff and got to go shake King's hand and talk to him, and actually has interviewed him a couple times. I wouldn't be able to interview King. I'd be too nervous.
Would you?
Yeah, I can barely get a book signed. Hey, good work. Thanks for writing books. Bye.
I sit here sounding like, really, Joe? But, I'd probably be just as bad, if not worse.
Check out my Dark Tower tattoo. You think I'm insane after you look at it.
Yeah, that's that creepy line. Like, it's not creepy that you have the tattoo, but, if you went and showed him the tattoo. I mean, it wouldn't even necessarily be creepy for you to do that, but I think he would feel a little creepy about that. I bet you he does.
Can you sign my arm so that I can then go get the signature tattooed onto my arm?
People do that.
I know they do.
Usually with rock stars.
Yeah. Anyway, now that we've strayed into stalker territory, let's call it a night. This was the Discordia 19 podcast. We record every couple weeks. And you can find everything that we write and everything we talked about at discordia19.com. There's even more stuff there than we talk about. Some stuff is just not translatable to a podcast. So go over there and read my stuff. Londo has one article up so far, but he'll be posting more whenever he's ready and whenever he feels
probably,
like it.
Probably old book stuff. I've been rereading a lot of the older books.
Awesome. That'd be great. And, you know, maybe we'll even do discussions after you read and write something. We can discuss your thoughts on that. We can do that as part of, like, features on the show. So, Discordia19.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Discordia Joe. And we're at Facebook.com/Discordia19. And Mondo also does another podcast called Terminal Signal. You can go there and listen to his music of the day. It's TerminalSignal.net. You can download and subscribe to his podcast about music.
Rock and roll.
It's a shorty. It's every day, and it's only a few minutes. You get to listen to some cool tunes and then, you know, listen to your favorite news program.
There you go.
All right, buddy. We'll talk again, and have a good night, everybody.
Take care.
Peace.